In our reading for this morning, Jesus does something that he doesn't really do all that often in Scripture, or at least not that it's recorded. Typically, what we hear is that Jesus goes off somewhere to pray. He's had a busy day, lots of stuff going on, pushed and pulled in lots of directions, not really sure what to do next. He goes off to pray. Very rarely do we actually get the words that we think he prayed, except in a situation like this one from John 17. Here, there's two juxtapositions in the prayer. The first six verses that we didn't read, or first five verses, really are Jesus praying for himself, grounding himself in prayer. That we've kind of heard other places, moments in Gethsemane, moments on a hillside, moments along the way of discipleship. And then there's this longer piece where Jesus prays for his disciples. And if you paid attention to the words that were shared, it's not just his disciples, but it's all the way down through the generations to you and I sitting or listening here today. Those who have not seen me, yet believe. Prayer then for us is foundational to our identity. It's not an optional activity. It's not something we elect to do when we have the time to do it, or something that we just pick up when life gets really hard. It's the difference between being a praying people and a prayerful people. That's what Jesus calls us to be, prayerful people. Not just folks who engage in prayer because somebody wrote it and projected it on the screens for us, or because somebody sends it to us in an email or a text, but people who engage in the very act of discipleship in a prayerful, embodied, intentional expression of discipleship. That's what Jesus is trying to get through to us. That all of us, from Jesus to the disciples, all the way down through history, to those of us sitting here or watching online, every single one of us is in need of prayer. There is no exception to the need for prayer. If Jesus needed prayer, then I can guarantee you, I need prayer. Like, let's make no mistake about it. Prayer is about a heart alignment. It shifts us out of our heads and into the very heart of our beings, and it aligns our hearts with the holy. Because we can trust that even now, Christ is praying for us. And so we are called to align the very essence of who we are with the risen Christ. As individuals, and as a community of faith, as Parkdale, or as Wellington West, or as Trinity Prince George, or as any other community of faith, wherever it happens to be located, wherever it is around the world, we are called as Christians to engage in a heart alignment with the holy, so that we can move from being a praying people to a prayerful people. That is the goal. We talk about it in lots of different ways. We might call it a strat plan, or a ministry plan, or a vision and a mission, or whatever name we want to put on it. But at the end of the day, it really is about being prayerful people. Henry Nouwen once said, prayer is the presence of God in our lives. Prayer creates that space for us to allow the holy to be fully present in our lives. But prayer is also a humbling act. It acknowledges that we need prayer. None of us is perfect. Definitely not me. None of us can go without prayer. And none of us should believe that we are above or beyond prayer. It doesn't matter what life has thrown at us, we deserve to be prayed for. We deserve to have the wholeness of who we are in all of our diversity and complexity held in prayer. To have other disciples pray for us. There's an old spiritual. If you were here early enough, you would have heard it, the bluegrass version of it before you worship. But it goes, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Now the verse that I really like, not the brother, not the sister, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not the brother, not the sister, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's that constant reminder that we can believe it's everybody else that needs prayer, but not me. And then John gives us this reading where even Jesus stands in the need of prayer. Because there's something about prayer that fundamentally shapes and molds our identity. Dr. Rachel Held Evans is well known for saying this phrase, "The church isn't a museum for good people. It's a hospital for the broken." If church isn't a museum for perfect people or good people, if it's not meant to be a place where we come and pat one another on the back for being good human beings this week and not doing the stuff that we may be tempted to do or even encouraged to do by some of our news and media feeds, if that's not where you come to kind of look at good people, kind of behind stained-colored glass and big, thick walls and doors, as if somehow they're in limited supply, so we better go have a look and see what they look like. If that's not what the church is, then it might just be a hospital for broken people. And if the church is a hospital for broken people, people that might know how to pray but not yet how to be prayerful, then the goal of the church is to engage in prayer as the foundational balm that can heal the soul. That's what we're called to do, to be practitioners of prayer, to hold one another, as Bev said earlier, in prayer, in the midst of everything that makes life crazy and wonderful, enjoyable and rough all at the same time, to engage in the act of being a prayerful people. Now, I'm not sure if Isaac wrote his piece this way, but I'm going to claim that he did. If you listen to the different movements that are there, you can watch it back later on when it's posted on YouTube. Just think about where might it be easy to pray in relation to his peace. There are certainly moments where he's up high in his right hand and it's light and it's airy and it's kind of fun and jovial and it's like, oh, yay. I feel good. Might be easy to pray up here. Then there's other times when he's down low in his left hand and it's louder and it's almost harsher. And all of a sudden, in my mind, the image I had was like waters that have all of a sudden become turbulent and upset. This is the rapids of life. And all of a sudden, I'm a little sat back and I'm like, ooh, maybe it's not so easy to pray here. Or you might go the other way around. It's a bit rougher down here. All of a sudden, I have some anxiety. I have some tension in my body. I'm not sure what's going on. Now is the time when I need prayer. But, you know, when he shifts back up and things become gentle again, I don't need to pray here. Life is good. Everything's right with the world. Right? I got more than I asked for when I tried to sell my house. I got that promotion at work. My kid got an A plus in math or social studies or phys ed. Do they still call it phys ed? Yes? Okay, good. Okay. Right? Whatever it is that's going well in life. I mean, it could be something simple like I got the parking space I wanted. My doctor was ahead of schedule. Now, that would be the answer to prayer. Right? Except those are the moments when we don't pray. Some of us. What if we embodied what this text shows us about what it means to be disciples and to be prayerful people, and instead saw our role as praying for one another and for the world and for ourselves in every aspect of our lives, every single moment of every single day with every breath we take? What if we literally filled ourselves up with prayer? What might the world be like then? Would Cuba be surrounded by a blockade if we were full of prayer? Would there be new outbreaks of terrible diseases in places like the Congo if we were full of prayer? Would we need to have this war going on in Iran if we were full of prayer? What about the Middle East? What about South America? What about down the road? What might it look like here on the corner of Gladstone and Parkdale if we were literally full of prayer? You see, I think one of the things that Jesus is trying to get through to us is that the world will only truly change when we shift from being a praying people to a prayerful people. When we understand that prayer is the crucible that shapes and molds and defines our identity. Because when you're full of prayer, you know that in times of struggle, when you're down in that deep register, when the waters are starting to rumble and shake, you know that the answer to that is prayer. When you're celebrating and things are going great and grand and you got a wonderful report from whomever about whatever, that is a moment for prayer. In moments of questions, when you're uncertain about what you're going to do next, that is a moment for prayer. When you're uncertain about where life is taking you, that is a moment for prayer. When you're engaged in a wonder about how the world could be created, and look at the tulips. Oh my gosh, tulips. Seriously, go look at the tulips. I never knew that you could have tulips that had like frayed edges that looked like they had spines that could poke you if you got too close. What wonder in a tulip! That's a moment and a time for prayer. When you've been affirmed in who you are and what you're doing in life with your identity and your expression, that's a moment for prayer. When you have clarity, pray. Illness, pray. Health, pray. Grief, pray. Anxious, pray. Hopeful, pray. Have you heard it yet? From your first breath to your last breath, pray. Because prayer grounds us in the holy, and it fundamentally shifts our perception of the world and of reality. For me, as a follower of Jesus, I believe there is few other things in the world, there may not be anything else in the world that is stronger than prayer. Because prayer grounds us in a way that allows us to move outside of ourselves. It's the words that Jesus uses, not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will believe. It moves us outside of our insular or cloistered activity. Prayer grounds us in our neighborhood and in our communities and in our world. Because we're prayerful people who pray all the time. And you might be thinking, Bob, I can't pray. Well, I'd argue against that. Shocker, I know. There's no one that can't pray. You might not be able to string together long sentences that require big breaths in order to get them all out, but I guarantee you there's nobody in this sanctuary who can't pray. There's nobody online that can't pray. Because prayer is woven into your DNA. Prayer was with us from the first breath at the moment of creation. That's how integral to you and to me prayer is. And it's kind of this point that John O'Donohue was trying to get at when he says there is a serenity in the elements. If you listen close enough, you can hear the prayer of rocks and trees. Even creation, all of creation is prayerful. How could we be any less? How could we as followers of Jesus, as disciples of the risen Christ, how could we be any less than prayerful people if even the rocks and trees offer their thanksgiving to the Creator of all that is in prayer? So Parkdale, that's who I think we're called to be. Foundational to our identity is all kinds of things. There's all kinds of music. There's all kinds of being together. There's definitely all kinds of food. Like, I know that now better than I did 6 months ago. So does my waistline. But there's definitely all kinds of food here. There's all kinds of experiences and expressions and identities and realities that are lived here. And yet, the one thing we all hold in common is that we are called to be prayerful people. May it be so. Megwetch. Amen.